Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100%.
I'll give you a thumbnail update. On Tuesday, I took my Valentine's Day dinner. Wednesday morning, I felt pretty weak. I had the shivers. I put blankets over myself, but it didn't make a difference. The following day, I didn't feel a lot better. My voice had been deteriorating on the shows. I was sounding like an 82-year-old man. On Friday, I was so weak, I could hardly move, so I had my wife drive me to a local hospital where they immediately ascertained that my blood oxygen level was at 74, which meant that my heart had to pump excessively just to keep my body alive, and it turned out it had induced a heart attack I didn't even experience. I didn't even feel the pain. But they gave me superb care. There were three different doctors involved, a wonderful nurse, multiple nurses' aides, student nurses, 24 hours a day. Every 4 hours, I'd be awakened to take my vitals and my blood oxygen and the whole bit. I mean, it went on and on and on. And I was released yesterday, close to noon, to return home. Now, there's follow-up to take place. I have a stress test on Friday. Then I have a follow-up with all my blood panels on Tuesday right here at the local clinic, which is only a mile from my home. I mean, it was astonishing to me when I moved to Wisconsin. I turned out to have as my personal physician, Zorba Pastor, who's the most famous physician in Wisconsin and even in America. He has a NPR radio show. He writes a column and all that. Well, this was just sensational and a sign of the quality of medical care I was going to get through the Dean Clinic here in Wisconsin. So I just say, so far, so good. I appear to have made substantial progress. My blood oxygen level when I awakened was about 92, but subsequently back up at 95, 96. I think I'm going to survive this encounter. So I want to bring you up to date on some of the latest developments. I'm very pleased to say I have Joe Olson with me here today. We're going to talk about a number of issues, and then further that Joe wants to address. Here's one: 5 ways the war in Ukraine has changed the world. And let me make sure here I actually record the show. That does make a difference. Here we go. 5 ways the war in Ukraine has changed the world. This is in very nice report, but I think there are ways in which it's very incomplete. War has been a catastrophe for Ukraine and a crisis for the globe. The world is a more unstable and fearful place since Russia invaded its neighbor on February 24th, 2022, except that's highly misleading, ignoring the context. Just as I've explained how Mike Whitney corrected the context for Seymour Hersh's explanation about the Nord Stream, that this was no Russian provocation, this was American and NATO aggression. 1 year on, thousands of Ukrainian civilians are dead, countless buildings destroyed, tens of thousands of troops have been killed or seriously wounded on each side, ignoring the fact the ratio has been on the order of 8-1, Ukrainians versus Russian troops. And who are dead largely because Ukraine has been attacking civilian sites and blaming it on Russia. I need somebody. Gross figures taking place here. Beyond the border, the invasion has shattered European security or redrawn nations' relations with one another and frayed a tightly woven global economy. Now, here are the five ways. The return of European war. 3 months before the invasion, then PM Boris Johnson spoofed at suggestions the British Army needed more heavy weapons. The old concepts of fighting big tank battles on European landmass, he said, are over. The very same guy, Boris Johnson, is now urging the UK to send more battle tanks to help Ukraine repel Russia. Despite the role played by new technologies such as satellites and drones, this 21st century conflict in many ways resembles one from the 20th. Fighting in eastern Ukraine's Donbass region is a brutal slog with mud trenches and bloody infantry assaults reminiscent of World War I. The conflict has sparked a new arms race, reminding some analysts of the 1930 buildup to World War II. Russia has mobilized hundreds of thousands of conscripts, aimed to expand its military from 1 to 1.5 million. The U.S. has ramped up weapons production to replace stockpiles shipped to Ukraine. But as an aside, we can't do it. We have depleted our resources. We don't have the munitions. As I reported, Mike Adams has explained that we have already lost a conventional war in Ukraine because the rate at which the munitions are being depleted is one that it's impossible for us to replenish, and it would take a year to two to have our production facilities in place. France plans to boost military spending by a third in 2030. Well, do you think this is still going to be going on in 2030? Well, Germany has abandoned its longstanding ban on sending weapons to conflict zones and shipped missiles and tanks to Ukraine. But I would add, they've cut down on the number of Leopard tanks they were going to send to Ukraine. It's now going to be a minuscule token force. I think the lack of enthusiasm for this ongoing encounter, which Russia is certain to win, has caused some of the Allied forces to rethink what they are doing here and consider their own best interests. Before the war, many observers assumed military forces would move toward more advanced technology and cyber warfare and become less reliant on tanks or artillery, as Patrick Bury, a senior lecturer in security at the University of Bath, has observed. But in Ukraine, guns and ammo are the most important weapons. It is, for the moment at least, being shown that in Ukraine, conventional warfare, stored on state, is back, Bury said. Joe, I'd like to invite any comments you have about those that very initial, the return of planned war in Europe.
Yes, well, javelins have proven that tanks are obsolete the same way that battleships were proven obsolete at Pearl Harbor. So what we've got is admirals and generals that are always fighting the last world war, our last major war. And, you know, one thing I really want to address is these idiots that keep saying the Democratic Party is the party of peace. Why isn't there any anti-war movement? Well, just remind yourself who Woody Wilson was, who FDR was, who Truman was, and who LBJ were, because all of them created major wars. So get over it. The Democrats are equally conspirators. And let's not, don't forget, we also had Slick Willie with the Bosnian War, and we had Obama with the wars in Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, and Syria. So let's don't give these guys a pass. We have nothing but a warmonger uniparty running the freaking country, and it's insane.
Joe, I largely agree with that. I believe there has been a reversal of roles of the party, that since Trump executed a hostile turnover of the Republican Party and turned it into a populist party. The Republicans are the anti-war party, the fiscal constraint, of course, always, but government regulation. The Democrats have gone whole hog with tyrannical government and want to, as Biden's asserting there, defend Ukraine to the last American soldier. It's stunning. Here is the second of the five ways. Alliances tested and toughened. Russian President Putin hoped the invasion would split the West and weaken NATO. No, actually, he did not. He thought he had to enter the war to defend the Donbass and to prevent an invasion that was about to take place, launched by Kiev to slaughter ethnic Russians there. Also to take out the bio labs that had been there, and of course to prevent Ukraine from becoming a member of NATO. Don't believe everything you're being told. A group set up to counter the Soviet Union has a renewed sense of purpose, meaning NATO itself, and two new aspiring members in Finland and Sweden, which ditched decades of non-alignment and asked to join NATO as protection against Russia, by the way. The earthquakes that have hit Turkey are widely regarded as in retaliation for Turkey's opposition to Finland and Sweden joining NATO. This is punishment, brutal. There's no proper epicenter. This appears to be, in effect, a harp, and it's by far from the first time that the United States has done this. The 27-nation European Union has hit Russia with tough sanctions, sent billions in support to Ukraine. The war put Brexit squabbles into perspective, thawing diplomatic relations between the bloc and awkward former member Britain. The EU is taking sanctions, quite serious sanctions, in the way that it should. The U.S. is back in Europe with a vengeance in a way we never thought it would be again, said defense analyst Michael Clark, former head of the Royal United Services Institute think tank. Let me add that the sanctions are backfiring massively. Indeed, in my opinion, a major flaw here in this assessment of five ways the world has changed is the economic realignment with regard to BRICS and the Shanghai Cooperative Organization, which are realigning the economic relations among in the world, which is going to make a huge difference. It's going to undermine the petrodollar and reduce the quality of life in the United States. Member states have brought weapons and equipment worth billions into Ukraine. The alliance has buttressed its east flank. The countries nearest to Ukraine in Russia, including Poland and the Baltic states, have persuaded more hesitant NATO and European Union allies, potentially shifting Europe's center of power eastward. There are some cracks in the unity. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, Putin's closest ally in the EU, has lobbied against sanctions on Moscow, refused to send weapons to Ukraine, and held up an aid package from the bloc for Kiev. Western unity will come under more and more pressure the longer the conflict grinds on. Russia is planning for a long war, NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg said at the end of 2022. But the alliance was also ready for the long haul. Joe, your thoughts?
Yes, well, I thought we were going to do a special on the FAA today, and I really am not prepared to get into a whole lot more depth on that.
Oh, that's okay, Joe. Then I'll just persevere, and we'll pick up with your issues on the FAA at the appropriate time. Meanwhile, the third way, a new Iron Curtain has descended. The war has made Russia pariah in the West. Its oligarchs have been sanctioned, its business is blacklisted. International brands, including McDonald's and IKEA, have disappeared from the country's streets. Well, I can assure you that's not the case. I have research colleagues who have been in Moscow of late and visited a McDonald's. I guarantee you they're thriving. Yet Moscow is not entirely friendless. Russia strengthened economic ties with China, though Beijing is keeping its distance from the fighting and has so far not sent weapons. The U.S. has recently expressed concern that may change. China is closely watching a conflict that may serve as either encouragement or warning to Beijing without any attempt to reclaim self-governing Taiwan by force. Putin has reinforced military links with international outcasts North Korea and Iran, which supplied armed drones that Russia unleashed on Ukrainian infrastructure. Moscow continues to build influence in Africa and the Middle East with its economy and military clout. Russia's Wagner mercenary group has grown more powerful in conflicts from the Donbass to the Sahel. In an echo of the Cold War, the world is divided into two camps, with many countries, including densely populated India, hedging their bets to see who emerges on top. Tracy German, professor of conflict and security at King's College London, where I have given a lecture, said the conflict has widened a rift between the U.S.-led liberal international order on the one side and angry Russia and emboldened rising superpower China on the other. Well, no doubt it's widened the rift, but that wasn't really necessary. It appears to be that it was the United States, as Mike Whitney has clarified, that wanted to prevent the emergence of an economic super bloc between Russia, Germany, and the EU, where Russia would provide cheap energy to Europe and, of course, receive the profits in return and usher in an era of cordial relations, which would make manifest that NATO had long since outlived its usefulness, that it was no longer necessary to depend upon the United States for expensive military equipment and supplies, and that a real capitalistic enterprise would emerge here, which we sabotage by destroying the Nord Stream 1 and 2 gas links. It's all very clear that this took place well in advance. You can find the story linked on my Twitter at Jim Fetzer. I'll be reposting it, which was about to be my next act when I was off to the hospital for my sojourn. Here's the fourth way in which war has changed the world. And Mitchell. I'm not accessing the chat. You can kill the break. Please do kill the break at the bottom of the hour. A battered and reshaped economy. The war's economic impact has been felt from chili homes in Europe to food markets in Africa. Before the war, European Union nations imported almost half their natural gas and a third of their oil from Russia. The invasions, sanctions slapped on Russia in response, delivered an energy price shock on a scale not seen since the 1970s. The war disrupted global trade that was still recovering from the pandemic. Food prices have soared. Since Russia and Ukraine are major suppliers of wheat and sunflower oil, and Russia is the world's top fertilizer producer, grain-carrying ships have continued to sail from Ukraine under a fragile UN broker deal, and prices have come down from record levels. But food remains a geopolitical football. Russia has sought to blame the West for high prices, while Ukraine and its allies accuse Russia of cynically using hunger as a weapon. Well, Russia's got a right of it. I mean, Henry Kissinger observed that if you want to control a government, control its money. If you want to control a people, control its food. We have seen over 150 food processing plants across the United States be destroyed, millions of turkeys, millions of chickens, efforts ongoing now even to deprive us of access to eggs, because it turns out there's an ingredient in the yolk of eggs that prohibits the spike protein elements in the vax from being successful in effectuating the most serious damage to human beings. So they're executing a rear guard action against eggs, and as no doubt they will against other methods, means, or foods that actually protect us to some degree from the ongoing genocidal operation they launched. The war has really highlighted the fragility of an interconnected world, just as a pandemic did, German said, and the full economic impact has yet to be felt. The war is also roiled attempts to fight climate change, which we know is a fraud. Joe can attest to that, driving an upsurge in Europe's use of heavily polluting coal. Yet Europe's rush away from Russian oil and gas may speed the transition to renewable energy sources faster than countless warnings about the dangers of global warming, all of which are mountains of bullshit. The International Energy Agency said the world will add as much renewable power in the next 5 years as it did in the last 20. Fat chance. Fifth, new age of uncertainty. If the conflict is a stark reminder that individuals have little control over the course of history, no one knows that better than the 8 million Ukrainians forced to flee their homes and country for new lives and communities across Europe and beyond. For millions less directly affected, the sudden shattering of Europe's peace has brought uncertainty and anxiety. Putin's veiled threat to use atomic weapons, if the conflict escalates, revives the Earth's fears of nuclear war that had lain dormant since the Cold War. Fighting has raged around the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, raising the specter of a new Chernobyl, which is also, by the way, located in Ukraine. Patricia Lewis, director of the International Security Program at the think tank Chatham House, said Putin's nuclear saber rattling had provoked more anger than fear in the West. But concerns about nuclear escalation were heightened by Putin's 21st February announcement he was suspending Russia's participation in the sole remaining nuclear arms control treaty with the United States. Putin stopped short of withdrawing completely from the New START treaty and said Moscow would respect the treaty's caps on nuclear weapons, keeping a faint glimmer of arms control alive. But bear in mind, the West has violated every agreement it has made with Russia, beginning with the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991. Then Secretary of State James Baker declared that the West would not encroach one inch to the east. There were 13 NATO nations at the time. Today there are 30. Where do you think they came from? Constant encroachment, one after another, turning one of these newly sovereign nations into a NATO bloc armed against Russia. Just outrageous. The Russians have protested again and again for decades that their national security necessities were not being respected. Now we've had Vladimir Putin once again address the Russian Federal Assembly. I published his original address of last 24 February when it occurred. You can find it on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Putin is spelling it all out in clear and plain language anyone can understand, but the media is doing its best to give it a spin. Here we have. Good afternoon. Members of the Federation Assembly, Senators, State Duma, deputies, citizens of Russia. This presidential address comes, as we all know, at a difficult watershed period for our country. This is a time of radical, irreversible change in the entire world, of crucial historical events that will determine the future of our country and our people, a time when every one of us bears a colossal responsibility. 1 year ago, to protect the people in our historical lands, to ensure the security of our country, and to eliminate the threat coming from the neo-Nazi regime that had taken hold of Ukraine after the 2014 coup, it was decided to begin the special military operation. Step by step, carefully and consistently, we will deal with the tasks we have at hand. Since 2014, Donbass has been fighting for the right to live in their land and to speak their native tongue. It fought and never gave up amid the blockade constant shelling in Kiev regime's overt hatred. It hoped and waited that Russia would come to help. In the meantime, as you know well, we were doing everything in our power to solve this problem by peaceful means and patiently conducted talks on a peaceful solution to this devastating conflict. This appalling method of deception had been tried and tested many times before. They behaved just as shamelessly and duplicitously when destroying Yugoslavia, Iraq, Libya, and Syria. They will never be able to wash off this shame. The concepts of honor, trust, and decency are not for them. In the meantime, we were doing to resolve the problem. Over the long centuries of colonialism, diktat, and hegemony, they got used to being allowed everything, got used to spitting on the whole world. It turned out that they treat people living in their own countries with the same disdain, like a master. After all, they cynically deceived them too, tricked them with stories about the search for peace, about adherence to the UN Security Council resolutions on Donbass. Indeed, the Western elites have become a symbol of total, unprincipled lies. We firmly defend our interests, as well as our belief that in today's world, there should be no division into so-called civilized countries and all the rest, and that there is need for an honest partnership that rejects any exclusivity, especially an aggressive one. We were open and sincerely ready for a constructive dialogue with the West. We said and insisted that both Europe and the whole world needed an indivisible security system equal for all countries. And for many years, we suggested that our partners discuss this idea together and work on its implementation. But in response, we received either an indistinct or hypocritical reaction as far as words were concerned. But there were also actions. NATO's expansion to our borders, the creation of new deployment areas for missile defense in Europe and area. They decided to take cover from us under Russia, not just near Russia's border. We'll be right back. I would like to stress, in fact, this is well known, that no other country has so many military bases abroad as the United States. There are hundreds of them. I want to emphasize this. Hundreds of bases all over the world. The planet is covered with them, and one look at the map is enough to see it. The whole world witnessed how they withdrew from fundamental agreements on weapons, including the Treaty on Intermediate and Shorter Range Missiles, unilaterally tearing up the fundamental agreements that maintain world peace. For some reason, they did it. They do not do anything without a reason, as we know. Finally, in December of 2021, we officially submitted draft agreements on security guarantees to the USA and NATO. In essence, all key fundamental points were rejected. After that, it finally became clear that the go-ahead for the implementation of aggressive plans had been given, and they were not going to stop. The threat was growing by the day. Judging by the information we received, there was no doubt that everything would be in place by February 2022 for launching yet another bloody punitive operation in Donbass. Let me remind you that back in 2014, the Kiev regime sent its artillery tanks and warplanes to fight in Donbass. We all remember the aerial footage of airstrikes targeting Donetsk. Other cities also suffered from airstrikes. In 2015, they tried to mount a frontal assault against Donbass again while keeping the blockade in place and continuing to shell and terrorize civilians. That reminds you that all of this was completely at odds with the documents and resolutions adopted by the UN Security Council, but everyone pretended that nothing was happening. Let me reiterate that they were the ones who started this war, while we use force and are using it to stop the war. Those who plotted a new attack against Donetsk and the Donbass region and against Lugansk. Joe, can you mute? I need for you to mute. Those who plotted the new attack against Donbass, Donetsk, and against Lugansk understood that Crimea and Sevastopol would be the next target. We realize this as well. Even today, Kiev is openly discussing far-reaching plans of this kind. They expose themselves by making public what we already knew. We are defending human lives in our common home, while the West seeks unlimited power. It has already spent over $150 billion on helping and arming the Kiev regime. To give you an idea, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the G7 countries earmarked about $60 billion in 2020-2021 to help the world's poorest countries. Is this clear? They spent $150 billion on the war while giving $60 billion to the poorest countries despite pretending to care about them all the time and also conditioning this support on obedience or benefit on behalf of the beneficiary countries. What about all this talk of fighting poverty, sustainable development, and protection of the environment? Where did it all go? Has it all vanished? Meanwhile, they keep channeling more money into the war effort. They eagerly invest in sowing unrest and encouraging government coups in other countries around the world. The recent Munich conference turned into an endless stream of accusations against Russia. One gets the impression that this was done so that everyone would forget what the so-called West has been doing over the past decades. They were the ones who let the genie out of the bottle, plunging entire regions into chaos. According to U.S. experts, almost 900,000 people were killed during wars unleashed by the United States after 2001, and of course that would mean subsequent to 9/11, and over 38 million became refugees. Please note, we did not invent these statistics. It is the Americans who are providing them. They are now simply trying to erase all this from the memory of humankind, and they are pretending that all this never happened. However, no one in the world has forgotten this or will ever forget it. The West is using Ukraine as a battering ram against Russia and as a testing range. I am not going to discuss in detail the West's attempts to turn the war around or their plans to ramp up military supplies, since everyone is well aware of that. However, there is one circumstance that everyone should be clear about. The longer the range of the Western systems will be supplied to Ukraine, the further we will have to move the threat away from our borders. This is obvious. The Western elite make no secret of their goal, which is, I quote, Russia's strategic defeat. What does this mean to us? It means they plan to finish us once and for all. In other words, they plan to grow a local conflict into a global confrontation. This is how we understand it, and we will respond accordingly, because this represents an existential threat to our country. However, they too realize it is impossible to defeat Russia on the battlefield, and are conducting increasingly aggressive information attacks against us, targeting primarily the younger generation. They never stop lying and distorting historical facts as they attack our culture, the Russian Orthodox Church, and other traditional religious organizations in our country. Look what they are doing to their own people. It is all about the destruction of the family, of cultural and national identity, perversion and abuse of children, including pedophilia, all of which are declared normal in their life. They are forcing priests to bless same-sex marriages. Bless their hearts, let them do as they please. Here's what I would like to say in this regard. Adult people can do as they please. We in Russia have always seen it that way and always will. No one is going to intrude into other people's private lives, and we are not going to do it either. As I have said, the West has opened not only military and informational warfare against us, but is also seeking to fight us on the economic front. However, they have not succeeded on any of these fronts and never will. Moreover, those who initiated the sanctions are punishing themselves. They sent prices soaring in their own countries, destroyed jobs, forced companies to close and caused an energy crisis while telling their people that the Russians were to blame for all of this. We hear that. What means did they use against us in their efforts to attack us with sanctions? They tried disrupting economic ties with Russian companies and depriving the financial system of its communication channels to shutter our economy, isolate us from export markets, and thus undermine our revenues. They also stole our foreign exchange reserves to call a spade, tried to depreciate the ruble and drive inflation to destructive heights. Let me reiterate that the sanctions against Russia are merely a means. While the aim is declared by the Western leaders, to quote them, is to make us suffer. Make them suffer. What a humane attitude. They want to make our people suffer, which is designed to destabilize our society from within. However, their gamble failed to pay off. The Russian economy, as well as its governance model, proved to be much more resilient than the West thought. The government, parliament, the Bank of Russia, the region, and of course the business community and their employees all work together to ensure that the economic situation remained stable, offered people protection and preserved jobs, prevented shortages, including of essential goods, and supporting the financial system and business owners who invest in their enterprises, which also means investing in national development. We prevented our labor market from collapsing. On the contrary, we were able to reduce unemployment in the current environment. Today, considering the major challenges coming at us from all sides, the labor market is even better than it used to be. You may remember that the unemployment rate was 4.7% before the pandemic, and now I believe it is 3.7%. What is the figure, Mr. Mishustin? 3.7%? This is an all-time low. Let me reiterate that the Russian economy has prevailed over the risks it faced. It has prevailed. Of course, it was impossible to anticipate many of them, and we had to respond literally on the fly, dealing with issues as they emerged. Both the state and businesses had to move quickly. I will note that private sectors, SMEs, played an essential role in these efforts, and we must remember this. We avoided having to apply excessive regulation or distorting the economy by giving the state a more prominent role. What else is there to say? The recession was limited to the second quarter of 2022. While the economy grew in the third and fourth quarters, in fact, the Russian economy has embarked on a new growth cycle. Experts believe that it will rely on a fundamentally new model and structure. New, promising global markets, including Asia Pacific, are taking precedence, as is the domestic market, with its research, technology, and workforce no longer geared toward exporting commodities, but manufacturing goods with high added value. This will help Russia unleash its immense potential in all spheres and sectors. We expect to see a solid increase in domestic demand as early as this year. I am convinced that companies will use this opportunity to expand their manufacturing, make new products that are in high demand, and take over the market niches vacated or about to be vacated by Western companies as they withdraw. What areas should we focus a partnership of the state, the regions, and domestic business on? First, we will expand promising new foreign economic ties and build new logistic corridors. A decision has already been made to extend the Moscow-Kazan Expressway to Yekaterinburg, Chelyabinsk, and Tyumen, and eventually to Irkutsk and Vladivostok, with branches to Kazakhstan, Mongolia, and China. This will, in part, allow us to considerably expand our ties with Southeast Asian markets. We will develop Black Sea and Sea of Azov ports. We'll pay special attention to the North-South International Corridor, as those who work on this every day know. Vessels with a draft of up to 4.5 meters will be able to pass through the Volga-Caspian Sea Canal this year. This will open new routes for business cooperation with India, Iran, Pakistan, and the Middle Eastern countries. We will continue developing this corridor. Our plans include expedited modernization of the Eastern Railways, the Trans-Siberian Railway, and the Bakalemur Railway, and building up. Mitchell, can you get whoever is there off? Our plans include expedited modernization of the Eastern Railways, the Trans-Siberian Railway, and the Balakirk-Amur Railway, and building up the potential of the Northern Sea Route. This will create not only additional freight traffic, but also a foundation for reaching our national goals on developing Siberia, the Arctic, and the Far East. Infrastructure of the regions and the development of infrastructure, including communication, telecommunication, and railways, will receive a powerful impetus. Next year, 2024, will bring to a proper condition at least 85% of all roads in this country's largest metropolises, as well as over half of all regional and municipal roads. I am sure we will achieve this. We will also continue our free gas distribution program. We also made for the decision to extend it to social facilities, kindergartens and schools, outpatient clinics and hospitals, as well as primary health care centers. This program will now be permanent for our citizens. They can always request a connection to the gas distribution system. This year, we will launch a large program to build and repair housing and utility systems. Over the next 10 years, we plan to invest at least 4.5 trillion rubles in this. We know how important it is for our people and how neglected this area has been. It is necessary to improve the situation, and we will do it. It is important to give the program a powerful start. So I'd like to ask the government to ensure stable funding for this. Second, we will need to significantly expand our economy production capabilities and to increase domestic industrial capacity. An industrial mortgage tool has been created, and an easy-term loan can now be taken out not only to purchase production facilities, but also to build or upgrade them. The size of such a loan was discussed many times, and there are plans to increase it. It is a decent amount for the first step, up to 500 million rubles. It is available at a rate of 3 or 5% for up to 7 years. It sounds like a very good program and should be put to good use. New terms for industrial clusters took effect this year, including a lower fiscal and administrative burden on resident companies and long-term state orders and subsidies to support demand for their innovative products, which are just entering the market. Now, Americans tend to be very ignorant. They don't ever gain access to a foreign leader's point of view. Well, let me assure you, Vladimir Putin is a single true statement astride the world stage, and his assessment of the situation is vitally important to be understood by the American people. I only read or shared segments of his complete presentation, which you can find on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. However, I want to elaborate on one issue that was mentioned in the process. Putin. Russia suspends participation in last remaining nuclear treaty with the U.S. This is from Reuters. Moscow, Feb 21st. President Vladimir Putin said Tuesday Russia was suspending its participation in the New START treaty with the United States that limits the two sides' strategic nuclear arsenals. Putin stressed that Russia was not withdrawing from the treaty, but the suspension further imperils the last remaining pillar on of arms control between the United States and Russia, which between them hold nearly 90% of the world's nuclear warheads, enough to destroy the planet many times over. In this regard, Putin observed, I'm forced to announce today that Russia is suspending its participation in the Strategic Offensive Arms Treaty, Putin told lawmakers toward the end of his major speech to Parliament, nearly a year into the war in Ukraine. Putin said, Russia's nuclear energy company, Rosatom, must also ensure the country's readiness to test nuclear weapons as needed. Of course, we'll not be the first to do this. But if the United States says, then we will. No one must be under any dangerous illusion that global strategic parity can be destroyed. Meanwhile, these Palestine mayor, Biden giving millions to Ukraine, not us, shows he doesn't care about us. Very, very telling. On Monday's broadcast of Jesse Waters' Prime Time, East Palestine, and why they're pronouncing Palestine is beyond me, if only to not focus attention on what goes on in Palestine, where the Israelis are brutalizing the Palestinians over and over again. Ohio Mayor Trent Conaway stated that President Biden's Ukraine trip on Monday is the biggest slap in the face. And the president giving millions of dollars away to people over there, not to us, tells you right now he doesn't care about us. Conaway stated that during their meeting, Norfolk Southern CEO Alan Shaw seems sincere. He seemed like he cared. And right now, that's the only thing. Is it comforting? No. But we have to trust him right now. As soon as he does anything that we feel that we can't trust, then we'll have to go back to mediate or government officials that are higher than me to make him do what he said he's going to do. Later, East Palestine resident Lenny Glavin asked, on behalf of host Jesse Waters, with a president being in Ukraine today, does that surprise you? Conway answered, absolutely. That was the biggest slap in the face. That tells you right now he doesn't care about us. So I can send every agency he wants to, but I found it this morning, one of the briefings he was in, giving Ukraine millions of dollars away to people over there and not to us. I am furious. Joe, you're welcome to offer your thoughts about any of these comments before we turn to the issues you would like to address regarding especially the FAA. Go for it, my friend. Very sorry about that. Hang on, una moment. I'll call you. I'm very sorry about that, but when I have, I'm back on the air, I got to do an update on what are the important issues, and there's no more important issue than what Joe Olson is second-guessing about what I'm doing with other shows. I'm doing here the live revolutionary radio show, The Raw Deal. And if Joe does not want to be a part of it, well, so be it. Mitchell, I would welcome your comments in the absence of Joe, because he dealt himself out of it. Mitchell, it seems to me the American people are never going to be given an honest reporting about Vladimir Putin, And there's nothing more important than hearing from Putin himself, his view, his perspective on what's going on, which based upon my research is far more accurate and complete and detailed and compelling than what we're told by all of our mainstream news sources. Your thoughts, Mitchell?
Well, when you can't trust who you're negotiating with, it doesn't matter who you negotiate with, does it? The United States government isn't honorable, isn't diplomatic, and cannot be trusted. And, you know, while everybody has all these different arguments about Ukraine, the simple truth is the United States government cannot be trusted. Period. End of story.
I think that's absolutely right, Mitch. I think that's absolutely right. And the American people have to understand what the hell is going on. And the very idea that he would go to Ukraine and declare, we're here with you forever, that we cannot allow Russia to win, and not even Butthead has come to New Palestine in order to express concern. I mean, this is just outrageous and insulting, and it really does show the administration's sense of values. And Mitchell, what I find it underlines and emphasizes is that they control the voting machine. They don't care about the public will. They don't care about what's good or bad for the American people. They're just going to run roughshod over us all. And in my opinion, I mean, this is indefensible beyond words. But nobody wanted Joe Biden to be president in 2020. And yet he allegedly got more votes than any candidate in the history of the American politics, 81 million, even though in Phoenix, the day before the election, there was a joint appearance of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and there was so much enthusiasm, excitement over there being there in Phoenix on the eve of the vote that no one, not one person turned out. It was a handful of reporters to record. No one came. No one gave a shit. They are meaningless. They are useless. They are puppets. They are stooges. They are airheads. They are actors reading scripts. It is embarrassing. And the fact is, nevertheless, even though I had reports as early as 2019 from Rasmussen that polling was showing 40% of black likely voters were going to vote for Trump, because by locking down the border, creating a surging economy, he had created a situation where the wages of the lowest earning wage earners were rising at the highest rate. In other words, he was actually making a difference in their lives. No Democrat president had done that. So here was this guy who'd executed a hostile takeover of the Republican Party, benefiting the lowest working wage earners who traditionally would vote Democrat. Now 40% were going to vote Republican. They knew they were in deep trouble, Mitchell. This is just one of the reasons they had to rig the election so many different ways. They were not only stuffing the registration list, this Eric, E-R-I-C, with millions of ineligible voters, people who had moved, people who died, people who changed their affiliation, so that states had an excess of a million voters, more than they had eligible citizens to vote, so they could pad the rolls, they could mail out ballots and have them returned that they could then use by recertifying. We know all about the mules. There weren't just 2,000 mules, as Dinesh D'Souza titled his program, but there were on the order of 58,000 mules. 58,000 mules stuffing these illegal drop boxes in the middle of the night. And then, of course, we had the Dominion voting machines, and where they adjusted, for example, in Maricopa County, they adjusted the size of the ballots that could be counted, and that, you know, so that the machine couldn't count them, and they'd send them for adjudication. And the adjudication process was one where an individual could decide how the ballot should be counted without any supervision or recording. Thus, they were living up to their motto, changing the way you vote, in this case, from Republican to Democrat. And the problem is, as long as the courts aren't willing to take up these cases, and we've seen it again and again and again, all the way to the United States Supreme Court, where I was flabbergasted when the Texas lawsuit over the 2020 election was declined to be heard. I mean, what in the hell do we have a Supreme Court for if not to adjudicate over the legitimacy of national elections and conflicts between states? So in my opinion, that was completely outrageous. So Mitchell, I'm glad to have you here. Joe, in my opinion, has a little preoccupation with what he cares most about. I care about getting the most important stories of the day to everyone here. And whether Joe will or will not appear again on this show is an open question. Mitchell, I would like to open the lines. I'd be glad to take callers for the second half of the show, given I've been out of action here for several days. So I'm glad to do that. The number, of course, 540-352-4452, 540-354-4452. 540-352-4452. And I'll be glad to take your question about anything that's been going on in the whole period of time I've been out of sorts. Talk there.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide If you want to be a warrior or a victim, denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Jim's still slow getting back to the microphone, I see.
No problem.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Hey, we've got Frank in New York and Paul on the line here. Excellent. We get Mr. James Fetzer back here.
Hey, God, I had to grab a cup of coffee, and I haven't got that stress test lined up for Friday. But go ahead, lay it on. Let's see who we got here again.
Paul, and then Frank.
Okay. I'll let Paul go first. Paul's a regular caller. I know that. He's a knowledgeable guy, and I will stand fast.
Okay, good. Good, Frank. Paul, go ahead. Lay on.
Well, let me say welcome back. You know, lots of people here miss that that gravelly voice. I tried to communicate through Giuseppe and told some other people, you need to become a snowbird, Jim. You need to get some sunshine in the wintertime. You could do your show from someplace and, you know, maybe.
I lived in Florida for 5 years, Paul, actually. Sarasota,
yeah,
Brighton.
Well,
when I was teaching at New College, which they've now renamed New College of Florida.
It's a good idea. I mean, seriously, though, I mean, thinking about, you know, the near term and long term future, a lot of older people do get sick, get pneumonia in the wintertime, and the farther north you are and the more cold it is, the, you know, the lower amount of vitamin D you're going to get as a rule. And the sunshine gives you a form of steroidal vitamin D that you just don't get from supplements. And this is extremely important for health. It's been studied quite well. So, again, my recommendation, like I said, Florida, any place you choose, you could arrange it with even with your meager income, and I could help you with some of my my investment advice.
Paul, you are too kind. Look, I appreciate all that. No, I mean, there are all kinds of family reasons why I'm in the right locale. It's just this, it snuck up on me. You know, I could tell my voice didn't sound right, that I was sounding 82, and well, I may be 82. I have not in the past sounded 82, so something was wrong. I think it was good it came to a head, because I had no idea I had what I guess is called walking pneumonia, and my lungs were filling with fluid, and much of the process of the weekend has been to get that fluid drained out of my lungs. And as now you can tell, my voice is sounding pretty normal, pretty much the way it has in the past. Why don't you stick around while we bring – go ahead, and then we'll bring in Frank, but I want you to stay on.
Yeah, for sure. No, I want to hear Frank, too. He doesn't call that often. I would just say, to be honest, it doesn't sound quite normal. I'm interested in this so-called process of draining fluid, and I do have a lot of input as far as, you know, the sort of things you should be doing. But, no, I mean, you know what snowbird means, of course. We're just for the winter.
Sure.
And I'm not telling you to leave where you are, but it's you know, it's doable.
Yeah.
But, okay, go ahead. You know, we can talk more.
It's very thoughtful and appropriate. I like the suggestion. Whether I'm able to implement it as a practical matter, of course, is a whole nother question. Frank, go ahead. Join us. Paul's going to hang in there, and we can, the three of us, talk, and others join us. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay, great. First of all, Jim, it's great to hear you back, brother. You do sound a hell of a lot better, and I'm very glad you're back, you know. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about East Palestine myself. I said, why are they calling it East Palestine? Why don't they say Palestine? And like you said, and it dawned on me, I said, maybe people will make that connection and people will start checking out what's going on over in Palestine and see what's really going on. You know, what a catastrophe that would be if the people in this country actually woke up and see what those people are going through over there. You know, Jim, earlier you were talking about voter fraud. And I was telling a friend of mine, you know, if they can steal elections, they appoint the attorney generals, they appoint the officials in the administration, and they can prosecute who they want, they can let go who they want. I mean, we've got all of those people down in Washington, D.C. I mean, those people are being treated worse than dirt. I mean, it's disgusting. I can't believe that more Republicans aren't out there screaming, saying, hey, let's see what these people did. Now, I haven't noticed. I watch Tucker, you know, fairly often. Now, he was supposed to have access to all of those surveillance tapes that, you know, the committee wouldn't let the public see. You know, I guess where the cops are at, you know, waving people in, escorting them in. Somebody said they had a, you know, a selfie taken with the cop, wanted to have a selfie taken with one of the people coming in. Has Tucker, you know, brought any of those things out yet?
Well, of course, I've missed the last, his broadcast for the last number of days. It complicated what I was watching or not watching. He's been really quite good on East Palestine, however. And, you know, there's so many aspects to this. It appears they set up East Palestine, that specific community, with a new health records, electronic health records, in case, for example, they had a problem with breathing, for example. This is in advance of the event. And it appears this was all staged, that the last car caught fire when it was well away from East Palestine, which ought to have led to them bringing the train to a halt way back, you know, at good distance from East Palestine. It had 130 cars, more than it. They ought to have been carried as a cost-saving measure that the this rail line had lobbied to not have to upgrade its braking. And the claim is, and they're liking to pass a buck, that the Trump admin didn't require. Well, the Trump admin's been out for 2 effing years. So if it was urgent and important, then why the hell didn't the Biden administration do it? I haven't seen a single action of the Biden administration that benefits the American people. Not one.
I agree.
Large or small, none, zero, zilch, nada.
I was telling a friend of mine, I got two questions. Who let that train continue on after they saw the fire? And then who made the call to start burning all of that crazy stuff? You know, I mean, they should have kept that stuff concentrated, pack it up to whatever they got, get it out, bury it, or however they dispose of it. But burning it, I mean, that just, you know, that just enhances the deterioration. I mean,
It turns into phosgene gas, which was a deadly chemical gas used in World War One. Get this. The CDC changed its guidelines for the emergency handling of vinyl chloride within 10 days of this event. They changed their the bullshit of this administration. And you must know, it turns out that even the CDC is admitting 5% of the Pfizer doses committed 99% of the death, and that they were targeted in red states. I mean, you would believe this could be true of an American government, but that's what's been going on.
Somebody told me that 98% of the people in East Palestine are white. Okay,
yeah.
You know,
voted for Trump.
No, I agree. And I look at, you and I and Paul, I agree more with Paul. I think Trump, I was a big supporter. I invested about $500 the first time on him, and I voted for him the second time. But actually, I could give you a list of his broken promises. Okay, I got a list of about 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah,
seriously.
Frank, but I say Frank.
Yeah, I know,
Trump,
Jim, I know.
Trump with all his flaws. Are we better off under Trump or better off under Biden? There's no question about it. I mean, Biden's
So you're saying we got to take the lesser of two evils, okay? And,
of course,
I'll relinquish my Paul jump in here.
Of necessity, yeah. Unless we have a violent revolution, in which case all bets are off. And Paul basically, I think, thinks that's the way we have to go. And, of course, all the built-in mechanism for peaceful reform have been nullified by the Democrats. They've changed the voter registration rules. They've manipulated with these ballot boxes. They've used the voting machine to change the outcome. Remind us of JFK's observation that those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. I just don't know if the American people have the stomach to save their own lives. Everybody is so watered down. There's all kinds of, not only fluoride, which is a neurotoxin in the water, but I believe estrogen. I think there's been an attempt to sissify the American males in America so they're not going to stand up, for our rights. And, of course, they want to take the guns. So they're not going to get the guns. That's one thing that's very clear. Not going to happen.
With the GMOs and the, the aerial spraying, the chemtrails, as I call them, Michael Savage, you can't go, not Michael Savage, Michael Rivera. You can't say chemtrails on his show, okay? You're a quack if you say that. But he believes a plane actually hit the Pentagon, okay? And then it kind of folded up and went in there. Obviously that was a missile, okay, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, Charles Giuliani, he came out, he did a show on that. And Charlie is a very good investigator. I don't agree with him on everything, but I think he does a great job. I put him in the class with you. I think you guys go out there, you look at the evidence, and you bring forth what you feel and what you can prove and show. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. And I've devoted a huge amount to the 4/9/11 crash sites, each of which was fabricated or faked, albeit in different ways. It's fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Building 7, when the Architects and Engineers, I think they're the ones who put up a big sign down somewhere in Times Square or somewhere in New York City saying, what about Building 7? And 90% of the people weren't even aware of it. The media didn't cover that. They had it on for a little bit, and they had that woman, broadcasting the news when she said it went down when the thing was still up behind her. I mean, it was all coordinated. It's amazing how they can coordinate these things, get away with it. And the public is, maybe they're watching, The Masked Singer or, American Idol or something. I don't know. And we could be on the verge of war here. We could get wiped out here if we start poking the bear and keep poking them. I mean, we've been doing that more than enough.
This is why I'm a bit dumbfounded that Joe Olson thought his talking about the FAA was more important than Vladimir Putin's speech, for crying out loud. I mean, look, I've done a lot of shows with Joe. I may have done more shows with Joe than anyone on planet Earth. 350 more, okay? So I have a high opinion of Joe. But for him to not appreciate that it was terribly important to talk about with Vladimir Putin, how he is assessing the situation with the West, pulling out of or suspending participation in the START treaty, which is the last remaining nuclear arms treaty. We need to understand why we may be annihilated by provoking a nuclear war with Russia. And while I think what Joe may have had to say about the FAA is all fine and good, and I would have been glad to share it during the second hour, he finessed the opportunity. And I'm not going to apologize for giving him the boot. I found that quite insulting. Paul, come on back in and join the conversation.
Well, you know, you said a lot there, and there's a lot that you're right on about. You know, I can't dispute much. However, I think we have to adjust our frame of reference and the terms that we all use. So I listened to your shows a couple of times, Jim, before you got sick, and you know, I didn't call, but you know, they all contain a lot of these terms which you use over and over, such as Washington, such as the West, such as the Biden administration. And I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we can say that these things don't really exist. You know, they're conceptual in nature, and the concept that we have of them is completely wrong. Now, you know, what I'm going to say is true, although you differ in some of the ways that I frame it in the terminology, but all we're dealing with here is orchestrated Jewish power that cooperates internationally. There's no other way to frame the conditions under which we are given to live and the theater that we're presented with on the television on a regular basis. You know, it's Jewish in nature, nothing more and nothing less. And the COVID-19 worldwide hoax, where basically they got almost every single nation in the world to institute these sort of health policies, these mass mandates to push a vaccine on their population. It's just, in my opinion, it's the most dramatic example and evidence that we have that worldwide government and worldwide government under Jewish control is a reality. And there's really no point in talking about it in any other way. You know, kind regards to your astute political you know, analysis of things. But yeah, if we're talking about, you know, candidate A versus candidate B, well, then sure, okay, Trump is better than Biden. Okay, fine. But it's not a simple A and B proposition. As you know, and you report on all the time, they're making war upon us in every possible venue or avenue, okay? Let's face it, look at it. It's the air, the sky, the water, medicine, law, politics, media, you know, government, finances, all these things are dominated by one group, and it ain't Gentiles. Okay? It's pretty much that simple. And I'll comment just briefly on this so-called train derailment, which these things are always suspicious, right? For many years, you know, I've known in my mind that some of these things just cannot be accidents, okay? And there's no doubt in my mind this thing is sabotaged. I was conversing with a friend of mine that I mentioned before. His name's Gary. He's a very smart guy. He's got a degree in physics, as I've said. And he worked, like a lot of physics people, in the petroleum industry for years. That's where a lot of people with physics degrees go that, you know, don't go into teaching and or research. He actually did a little bit of both. He did a little bit of research, and he was in the petroleum industry for a long time. And he told me that he saw data back in the 80s about the testing of these tanker cars that are used to transport all sorts of hazardous material, including LPG, liquefied petroleum gas, of course, which is quite hazardous, right? And that these cars are designed, you know, they're welded steel, right? Very robust. And they're designed to take an end-over-end tumble down a ravine from an explosion. They're designed to withstand a bomb. They just don't break open like a beer bottle that somebody left the cap off of, right? That would have to be done with a shape charge, okay? If you're pulling a car and it's got a tanker car on that thing, if it just falls down off the tracks onto the ground, it's not coming open, right? So you know what they did is they deliberately, you know, broke this thing open, you know, at the scene or ahead of time, right? And then they lit it on fire, and they're telling us it's a train derailment. This is the kind of thing that we're facing in this country, and it's, like you say, a lot of the average American is not awake to it, and I don't know if they're up for it. But the good news, in my opinion, the way I've always looked at it, it's a very small number of people, you know, that's doing this to us, right? They send teams around. It's like these acting troops that put on these fake drills and these shootings and these shooting hoaxes. You know, it's just a small rotating group, a crew that are doing this to us. So again, if we get the vast majority of American people to wake up and then a small handful of determined individuals to deal with these people, then we have a chance, but it ain't going to be through elections.
I think that's all totally responsible, good stuff, Paul, from beginning to end. And of course, I agree on a deeper analysis that we got a Jewish problem. We have the pledge. Cynthia McKinney revealed in 2011 on Iranian TV that every new member of Congress is asked to sign a pledge putting the interests of Israel ahead of even the interests of the United States, which means our Congress is Israeli-occupied territory. And I've endlessly reported how the Rothschild control the – they own the AP and the Reuters, that 90% of the stories – virtually all stories that aren't local come from the AP and Reuters, and how our mainstream media are completely dominated by U.S.-Israeli dual citizens. With a panel of 100 execs from CNN, 100 executives, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, another 100 execs from NBC, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, another 100 execs from the New York Times, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. It's astounding to me how far the New York Times has sunk into a propaganda rag for Israel. It's just disgusting beyond words. So, Paul, you know, by and large, I agree with you. It has more to do with the tactical questions of how we can work our ways out of the morass that we find ourselves in. But I have great respect for your views on these matters, with which I overwhelmingly agree.
Well, there you go. And, you know, the stuff that you just said, if you were in a court of law trying to prove a case by the standards in civil court, which is a preponderance of the evidence, after you get through with the 100 execs and the 100 execs and the 100 execs, and then you talk about all the cabinet posts, and you talk about the heads of these media corporations and the editorial control. And, you know, it's like, I rest my case, Your Honor, right? You rest your case. There's no need to talk about anything else. And so therefore we have to think, unfortunately, I know we disagree a little bit on this, but we have to think racially, okay? We have to identify these people as racially different from us. And historically they always have been regarded. Yes, there's been admixture, okay, and there's some differences in, you know, the appearance of a lot of these people. However, they are, in the main, racial aliens to our countries and our cultures, and they've always been regarded as such historically in Europe. And as you know, there's a long history of them being expelled from all sorts of countries over the last couple thousand years. And we now know why. Because it just seems that it's in their nature to do what they do. That's why I've always said this. In the end, this is a biological issue, a racial issue. It's not a political issue. Because if they repeat the same behavior over and over and over again, based upon, you know, this desire they have, right, to essentially to harm others, right? That's really what it comes down to.
Well, the leading expert in the area of sociobiology, which has to do with the relationship of biology to, in this case, group behavior, which technically is a cultural phenomenon, but it's genetically aligned in the case that the Jewish people practice a group evolutionary strategy of benefiting Jews. It's like skull and bones gone racial. With skull and bones, you're never supposed to take another action that harms or does not benefit a fellow bonesman. So you have John Kerry deferring to George W. Bush. They're both bonesmen, but Kerry's going to defer because if he contests the election, it's going to harm a bonesman. Jews, and Kevin McDonald is the expert here, have been very systematic in practicing a group strategy of based on racial lines, of promoting other Jews. And this has been very successful in various ways, but it's led to all kinds of conflicts of the kind you described. So I think, Paul, you're right in the big picture here about the racial dimension, that although I personally don't have an anti-Semitic bone in my body, that some of my closest friends have been Jewish. I do believe geopolitically there's a serious issue here. And as you observe, hundreds of countries have expelled Jews from the country because they were manipulating the financial system to benefit the Jews and harm the country. They were treating it as they were parasites, you know, feeding on the country as a host. So I got to say, Paul, I basically agree with you in the big picture. It's merely how we phrase it. Let's bring Frank in and then come back to you, Paul. Frank.
Oh, I agree, gentlemen. I mean, whenever they get together, they conspire. I mean, it's not openly, or they don't call each other on the phone secretly, but they'll promote each other, push each other, you know, push against Christian values and whatever they have to do. And before you were talking about, the, you know, their influence in the country, Trump came out a couple of months ago and said Israel controlled our Congress, and that's a good thing. I mean, you know, do we really believe that? I mean, we're over there, you know. I guess there was a little scuffle yesterday. They only killed seven people, okay? And they wounded I don't know how many more. You know, I had an article a couple of years ago. They were a bunch of Israelis were up on a mountain, Mount Sidor or something like that. I forget right now. But they were watching the bombs going into Palestine, okay? Blowing them up and everything. And they were up there with the lawn chairs and their six-packs like they were at a drive-in movie. I mean, it's disgusting. You know, but people in this country, oh, you can't say that word. You know, I got a friend of mine a long time. You know, he was a member of the John Birch Society. I was talking to him, you know, and he went along with that. And I said, you know what? I said, it's come down to the Jews. And it's kind of funny. When I was in the Birch Society back in the 70s, a guy in there pulled me aside. He said, it's the Jews. It's the Jews. And I just, you know, sloughed it off. But as I've gotten older and I see what's taking place, obviously it is the Jews. And it's not all of them. I've gone to school with Jewish people and I've worked with Jewish people. It's the rich Jews, the influential Jews. And they'll sacrifice the little Jews, too, to push their cause. And Jim, you said they've been thrown out of 100-some countries. I think it's 79 countries, about 109 times. They've been thrown out of a few countries multiple times, and justifiably so. They go in there, they work in unison, they'll promote each other. They don't care taking advantage. You know, they got their laws where they can say, you know, you can do this to Goyim, you can't do it to a fellow Jew and whatever. You know,
Frank,
what I'm saying?
Hold that thought. We'll come back with you and Paul and any other callers. I am Frank.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com.
the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, back from hospitalization for pneumonia and a heart attack. I'm very, very pleased to have Frank and Paul here. Frank,
whoa,
you were finished.
Whoa, I didn't know nothing about a heart attack.
Yeah, I didn't hear that either.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was a pneumonia-induced heart attack. The blood oxygen level was down to 74. I was so weak Friday, yeah. I could hardly move. So I had Jan take me directly to the hospital, and they diagnosed me within 20 minutes. I was just astonished that what had happened was that the heart was having so much trouble getting oxygen to my body because the amount in the blood was only 74. That I had a heart attack I hadn't even experienced. I hadn't even felt it. But that was their diagnosis. There are two types. One is stress-induced, and the other is from blockage. It's a blockage heart attack that causes great pain, and you're very much aware. But a stress-induced attack, such as I had, is something you can not even know you experience, which was my case. But they did all the, they've done all the studies. They've done a brilliant job on this. I'm going back for a stress test on Friday to confirm, you know, that everything's going. But it was getting my oxygen back up. It was killing the pneumonia with antibiotics that brought brought me back to close to normal. Yesterday, I was feeling even better than today. But I think because I had a improper adjustment on my CPAP. I suffer from sleep apnea, Paul, which means I stop breathing if I'm asleep. When I was tested for it the first time, which was like 15 years ago, they discovered I had 99 sleep interruptions per hour, which they staggered them. They'd never seen that high a number. So I've been having this CPAP. Yeah, it turns out the CPAP helps to oxygenate my air, and that maybe if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have been able to sustain all this. So I think I'm, you know, in good shape, in part for reasons you wouldn't think would normally be positive, but turned out under the circumstances to work in my favor. Yeah.
Okay, so after the show, then we'll sometime in the next few days or sometime, make time. We're going to have a discussion, maybe all me, you, and Giuseppe on the same call, but I want to put you in touch with the man, start getting you some proper supplements, some very necessary things, including some peptides. I do want to know what antibiotic they used on you, but we don't have to talk about that now. But yeah, this is of concern. And I'm doubling down on this thing about the sunshine. You know, I sent text to people saying, you know, Jim needs to start walking around in the sunshine and stop, you know, sitting around worrying about politics so much. But anyway, we'll go back to the show.
I appreciate all that tremendously. Frank, go ahead, make it up.
I'll tell you, you know, Paul was right on the money there. I'll tell you, I've been taking vitamins ever since I was a kid. Okay, I got incarcerated for selling pot at one time. And when I didn't, I couldn't get to a commissary. That's when you can order stuff. I can feel the joints in my hands, you know what I mean? Tightening up a little bit until I could get the vitamins. And I pound down probably about, 60 or 70 a day, herbs and vitamins, I should say. And I'll tell you, I live in Albany, okay? It's cold up here. But some days I'll just roll up my sleeve. I got a jacket on, you know what I mean? One of those flyweight jackets there, the ones that don't weigh much, but they protect you. I roll the sleeves up. I go out. If the sun's coming out beating down, I go out and get some of that. And I pound down vitamin D3 all the time. You know, supplements to me are a great thing. I'm 79. I don't take any pharmaceutical drugs. I don't even want to go near doctors. I've got a hernia. I deal with it. I got a mesh. What do you call that? I got an athletic supporter and a hernia belt, and you know what I mean? I've got some other problems too, but you know, sometimes you just deal with them. I mean, you know, I know some people, they sneeze. Oh, I got to go see the doctor, you know, and these doctors, I had a friend of mine a couple of years ago, and he said his doctor wants him to come in. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, nothing's wrong. She just wants to check it up. I said, well, look, she's going to tell you one of two things. You either got high blood pressure or your cholesterol's high. And so the next day he got home, I said, what'd she say? You know, she said, my cholesterol's up. He said, she said, I'll get your prescription. I said, of course he's going to say that, you know. But he told her, he said, well, look, I'll watch my diet and I'll try to exercise a little bit more. But, I mean, you know, they get kickbacks from these pharmaceutical companies. The doctors are part of the game. I mean, you know, here's a prescription. Go get this, go get that. I mean, people don't take care of themselves, you know. Walk, do a little exercise. I haven't used an elevator in decades, okay? If I can go to a place where they got stairs, I'm going to walk up the stairs, maybe even run up a few steps. Well, I used to work, you know, in an office. I used to go into the building, you know, and I was on the fourth floor. But, you know, people would be lined up for the elevator. Some people would take the stairs, you know what I mean? But I would get there and try to run up the stairs. You know, I can still play a little bit of softball, you know, competitively. I'm a pitcher. I'm not in the outfield running around. You know what I mean? But, you know, I can swing a bat, you know. You know, and I'm not talking about over 50 league. I was in over the 50 league about 20 years ago. I was the king. But I only played 1 year up there because there was so much crabbing going on. They had different bases. You could touch this one. You didn't want to trip somebody. I said, you know, with that stuff, you know. But I'm glad to see you're back, Jim. And I didn't know you had the heart attack either. And you take Paul's advice. Try to, you know, wow, get a little, that's the best. The sunshine, if you can get it. Exercise, walk a little bit, you know, go upstairs. Forsake elevators and escalators and stuff. Sometimes you can't, but, you know, when you can, you know, just push a little bit.
We have
we have
a ranch style home with a finished basement, and my office is downstairs. So I'm going up and downstairs 20 times a day. And I think
that's good. That's a benefit.
I think it is good. Yeah, I think it's.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Winter set in, I was doing a 1 mile walk every day, but I lost that when the winter set in.
Not enough.
I want to resume it. I think that makes it. I take vitamin D3 three times a day, Paul. No. I mean, that's a regular part of my regimen.
No. You can't get. See, that's the difference.
I know what you're talking about with the sunlight. I get it.
Oh, yeah. Sunlight's much better. That's why I said, you know, sometimes up here, I'll just roll up my sleeves. It might be 38 degrees out there or whatever. But if the sun's beating down nice, I'll come out there, you know what I mean, get my and roll up my pants if I got to get a little on.
Listen, you two knuckleheads, will you, just for a second? It was 71 degrees here the other day. I'm in Northern California. Jim knows about Pasadena. He was born and raised there. So, you know, getting sunshine when it's like in the 30s and the 40s, it's not okay. You gotta, come on, man. Anyway.
What do you mean? You don't think it's beneficial?
No, but it's not the
same. Ryan, what are you talking about? I think it benefits me.
I know it does. It's just not as good. That's all I'm going to say. You know,
let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you think about sun lamps?
It's nothing I've ever studied or looked into, but full spectrum light is something they've been using in Scandinavia for decades now. There's places you can go, and of course now there's people buy it for their homes where they just sit in front of a full spectrum light, and it has tremendous mood altering benefits as well. See, it's very well known that the sun and sunlight and warmth produces a cascade of health promoting and feel good chemicals. You know, we give various names to them.
Yeah. So anyway, just again, that's my 2 cents worth. Walking up and down the stairs from the basement, that's all fine and dandy. Okay. But you can go, and I recommend you do, starting this year, this winter, you can arrange it. It's not that big of a deal. You can get a little apartment or rent a condo or something like that. It's done all the time. And you can do your shows from there. And then when the spring gets nice, you can come back to Wisconsin. I don't know.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. We did have a caller from the 844 area code. Caller, if you're able to recall, we'll get you connected. We lost you at the break. 844, please do call us back. Frank, Paul, yes, any sir. Further thoughts about what's going on here with New Palestine and all that? I mean, I think they've been too blatant. This is too obvious. Even normies can see that they don't give a shit about the American people. Not a damn.
I agree. It's disgusting. You know, if this happened in Harlem, they'd be all over the fucking joint.
Right. Okay, so just think of it this way. Whatever it is they're doing, it's always a targeted attack. I mean, they can't really attack us all at once, although they're doing the best they can with the chemtrailing and the vaccines, right? But, you know, whatever it is they do, whether it's these fake shootings, you know, whether it's 9/11 or this instance in East Palestine, it's only coincidental, of course, that's named Palestine, right? And then, of course, all the food processing plants here and there, you know, again, they're just attacking us. That's all, the only way that I look at it is just a form of an attack. And, of course, it's a psychological attack as well.
You know, Tex Mars years ago said that, you know, they plan to destroy America and basically run the world from another area, you know, and they seem to be getting along with the Chinese, you know. You know, I hear people bashing Tucker, you know, they say, oh, Tucker doesn't go far enough. Do they expect him to come out and say, hey, it's the Jews on his show? I mean, obviously,
sure, yeah.
He'd be going,
well,
and, you know,
go ahead. We may not expect that, Frank, but what we can deduce from his past. Right. And I mean, you could see him on, you know, he's been recorded bashing and mocking 9/11 truthers, among other things. So, you know, I told Jim on his show many, many years ago, at least 3, 4, 5 years ago or so. I said, to me, you know, it's not politics is not worth it because they never talk about the real stuff, the kind of stuff that Jim talks about, the kind of stuff that many people talk about online on their BitChute channels, on their Odyssey and Rumble. YouTube not anymore because they took all the good, you know, channels mm-hmm. down.
Oh,
so
therefore,
if you're not talking about the real truth about what's happening in our world, then of what use are you? So Tucker's good when he talks about so-called politics, but I think we're all big boys here. We know that no politician or even 10 or 20 politicians is going to do anything. They're not going to save us. I don't care how many congressmen or senators we get elected that are like woke and on our side. It's just not, and I mean woke in a good way. It's just not going to do anything to this power structure.
Oh, well, I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, you know, I'm not ready to call for violence, you know, but I don't know. The hammer can come down on you know, gun confiscation. You know what I mean? I remember years ago, I think it was 29 Irons or somewhere, they were asking military soldiers if guns were outlawed, if they would go and confiscate them from people, you know, civilians. And I forget what the percentage was, but whatever it was, it should have been zero. But we know that. But, you know, the average slug out there, I mean, you know, it's tough trying to, you know, navigate through, you know, days talking to some of these people. And, oh, what do you mean? I never heard of that. Oh, you're crazy.
We can just forget about gun control because it's not going to happen. And I don't really even think it's worth talking about because I think if I'm going to be Nostradamus here, it's probably not hard to predict what they're doing. This continual unraveling and deconstruction of society whilst at the same time bringing in millions upon millions of brown and blacks from other parts of the world that are not American and that in many cases, if they're not already indoctrinated with anti-white propaganda, they will be once they get here, including, as was revealed a very long time ago, such Jewish funding of Spanish radio stations and other things to propagandize them to come here with this Otzlan
issue. I agree
issue,
totally.
Right? The
I got a question for you, Paul.
Just, Yeah, just really fast. Let me just tell you where I think this is going. They're going to make more and more guns available as stuff gets worse, because they want us to be fighting each other. And unfortunately, sooner or later, we may have to.
I was telling a woman this morning, if I grew up black, the way the media treats this country, I would hate white people. Do you know who Darryl Brooks Jr. is?
Yeah.
Okay. Most people don't. Okay. You know, they can tell you who Kyle Rittenhouse is because he was in the media for 3 or 4 months. Darryl Brooks Jr. runs over all of those people up in Wisconsin. Okay. He's in the media for a day, one day. That was it. He was gone. No more. That's it. And he had all kinds of hate whitey, this and that, okay, on his Facebook and whatever. And he gets in the van. He goes out of his way to run people down, kills an 8-year-old girl, was one of his victims. He wounded 27 other people or 30 people besides the 6 he killed, I think. You know, one day, gone. They don't want to show that, you know, but we got to get Trayvon Martin, poor Trayvon, and we got to get, what's his name there? Floyd. And,
You were going to ask me a question? You said I have a question for you?
Yeah. Why is you? Who's Darryl Brooks Jr.?
Oh, that. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. Okay,
Kenosha Christmas parade driver.
Right. But you know how many people on the streets will know that? Maybe 1 out of 100. Maybe. Okay, 99%.
Here's one for you and Jim as well. So what about the Carr brothers, okay, and what's known as the Wichita Five or the Wichita Massacre? Either one of you heard of that?
I'm not familiar with that.
There you go. That's just one of hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horrific.
Oh, I know that. William Pierce years ago, you know what I mean? He had all kinds of articles about blacks killing whites here and there and this and that. And the only place it was reported would be in the local media. The national, you know, media wouldn't pick any of that stuff up. They can't show that blacks actually are probably beating whites up or killing 10 to 1. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Jim asked me to sketch it out. So here it is. So these two brothers, the Carr brothers, okay, both black, of course, and both criminals. One of them had a record, was actually recently out of jail. And they just decide to, go to this apartment and, they knock on the door, basically. And, of course, they barge in with weapons and they find these five white people. Okay, two couples, man, woman, and then another guy, just a friend. And they end up, taking turns raping the women, actually forcing the white males to perform sexual acts on the women and then on each other, you know, at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Then they drive them all to the ATMs and have them withdraw cash. And then they take them to a field. This happened in December, by the way. They take them to a snow-covered football field, and they shoot them all in the back of the head. And one of them survived. It was a woman. She actually survived and ran, I don't know, some distance to the nearest house. And like 2 o'clock in the morning, if you can imagine, some young, naked, blonde woman with a gunshot wound knocking on your door in the middle of the night. Imagine what that's like. Well, anyway, it just took them a few days to catch them because they're just stupid niggers like so many of them are. And, you know, they have their car. Okay. And, nobody heard about it outside of the local coverage.
Oh, I agree with you.
And even then, that was quickly dropped. And it's, like I said, that's just one of hundreds and hundreds over the years that's not covered of this huge wave of non-white violence against whites. Whites generally do not commit violent crime against non-whites. It's actually statistically rare. And when the racial composition of the victim and the perpetrator are different, the overwhelming majority of the time, it's non-white committing crimes against whites. Now, having said all that, yes, blacks kill mostly other blacks, and Hispanics kill mostly other Hispanics. That's true. But when the races are different, victim and perpetrator, it's overwhelming. Jim knows this. He's reported on it. So there's an agenda in this country for a very, very, very long time, many, many decades. And it's only going to get worse. They're going to make guns more available. That's just my little, sidetrack on the whole gun control thing. So I'm sorry.
go ahead, you guys.
No, that's all good. That's all good, Paul. No problem whatsoever. We have a 912 area code caller. Caller, join the conversation. Just give us your first name and your state and join Paul and Frank and me. Oh, 912 left. Call back, 912. We're glad to have you join the conversation. Frank, go ahead. Reply to Paul.
Oh, I tell you, I think Paul's right on the money there. I mean, I know I've heard him mention William Pierce and other, you know, shows elsewhere, you know, maybe on RBN or wherever. You know, Paul's a popular guy. I like Paul. I like everything he says, you know, except for that stuff about the sunshine in the winter. I believe the sunshine gets into your skin if you're white wherever you are. But we'll move on from that little discrepancy. You know, there's so many of these cases, you know, like I said, Pierce, you know what I mean? I go back, I listen to some of his stuff, and there's stuff you never heard of. And for all that case you just mentioned, I think, I don't know if they had those people kneeling down and they were going to execute them. I did hear something about something like that. I don't know if that was the same case or whatever, but you know, where they got these white people and they raped them and then eventually they shot them. And you know, it's disgusting what goes on, but you know, the balance here, of course, that's what the Jews want. You know what I mean? They want the, you know, the blacks to say, look at Whitey's fucking you, Whitey's beating you up, Whitey's doing all of this stuff. You know, we get the Floyd up there in Minnesota. I mean, you got a constant, you know, and I don't, you know, did you know that him and the cop that had his knee on his neck, they worked together at a nightclub. One was a bouncer and one was parking cars.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we heard that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead. All we needed to know about that case, I try to wake, there's some people actually think that's real, you know? And I said, look, all you need to know about that was the funeral procession for this, you know, this guy, George Floyd. I mean, imagine a funeral procession for a black criminal, okay, that just goes on, ornate, horse-drawn, covered by all the major networks. If you don't know that's a show, you should not be walking around outside without, you know, permission. I mean...
Well, yeah, well, that's the way they are, unfortunately. You know, some people call them the normies, the dummies, whatever. You know, they're just unaware of what's going on. And it's unfortunate because that's going to be our eventual downfall. Ignorance will be the ultimate reason, I think, that we're going to go down. And, you know, maybe, yeah, we'll – I don't know about more guns out there, Paul. I mean, you know, the blacks can get the shanks and we can get – you know, we can hit people with wrenches and whatever, you know. But I do believe that they're pushing for that, you know. And, you know, I think whiteys – you know, white people get pissed off. We see this. Look at the way this is going on. When the actual DOJ stats come out, it's like 10 to 1. You know,
right,
black
but you
on
know
white
what
crimes.
We do to other, but you know what we, and I say we like U.S. government, but it's we all know it's the Jewish power. This is what they do to other places too. They dump a bunch of guns in these countries. Okay, that's what they
that's
do.
A foreign aid.
You know, so in other words, you know, look, gun manufacturers have only become more prolific over the last 20, 30, 40 years. Right, there's more guns than of all types available than ever before. And as Jim has reported, gun sales go up after many of these shootings.
Oh, for sure.
I agree. So
agree totally.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think we have to worry about a gun grab, even though they want to keep that fear over us. And it's similar but unrelated. I don't think we have to worry about most of the things that they tell us to worry about, like nuclear war. I'm not worried about it in the least.
You're not?
You know, I think it's all just no, not at all.
Do you believe that there are nuclear weapons?
Well, as I said before, I personally do not, but even if I did, I just don't believe it's a real thing. I believe they use it to keep fear over us, make people concerned about something over which they have no control.
Right. I've heard that theory. I don't know. I mean, I know who's, you know, Hiroshima, you know, Hiroshima, however you want to pronounce it over there. They were devastated. What they were, I guess, is atomic bombs or whatever. You know, whatever.
They were more than likely firebomb. We don't want to turn this into, and we can another time, but the photographic evidence shows far too many anomalies for that to have been a single large explosion with the sorts of pounds per square inch and high heat temperatures that they claim would result from a nuclear fission event. So again, why are there the anomalies? It's kind of like, why are there all these evidence of fraud with the moon landing? Why is there all this evidence of fraud with 9/11? Why is there all this evidence of fraud with Sandy Hook? All these things can be examined.
So based upon these sorts of things, that's some wild speculation, but also conversations with a friend of mine who has looked at the evidence and sent much of it to me, right, about the neutron cross-section curve, they both cannot be true. In other words, either the neutron cross-section curve is true or it's not. It's actual real science or it's not. And if it's actual real science and it's not fraud, then nuclear weapons are not physically possible. And there's been people that have weighed in online on this, and they have degrees. I don't have any degrees, but there's people online, so-called scientists, that say, well, if it's true and it's published data in the scientific literature, then therefore there can't be enough sustained high-energy neutron absorption to create the chain reaction. And that's what it's all based upon, is what they call a high-energy neutron absorption, which would not occur if the neutron cross-section curve is true. So again, obviously,
I was just going to say, you know, you've delved into this. I haven't. I just heard some people randomly say that, and I question everything today. You know what I mean? I hear some people talking about a flat Earth. Okay, now that might be there. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I can't prove it one way or the other. I mean, most people say, well, you're crazy if you believe that. I'm not saying I believe it, but I'm not just going to throw it out with everything else. I mean, there's so many
Frank,
things.
Actually, having looked into both, and of course I'm not alone, there's tens or hundreds of thousands of people online that have all looked into these things. That one's easier than nukes. I'm open to the fact that, yeah, nukes could exist, but I'm convinced about the lack of curvature that is evident
on the Earth. I understand that's very possible. I mean, you know, are we supposed to be spinning around at what, a couple thousand miles an hour, and you know, it's just like nothing's moving? I don't know. I mean, is gravity that strong? What, you know, I'm not going one way or the other.
You could start here if you're interested, Frank. You could type in a search term. Now there's tons of videos available, but just type in, no experiment has ever proved the motion of the Earth, and you'll find some very interesting reading.
By the way, thank you guys. Thank you guys for joining
me. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Paul.
On my return from hospitalization, and everyone knows Paul and I disagree both about flat Earth and nukes, but there it is. I'm glad to have him and Frank here today. I thought it was wonderful. Glad to be back.
Yes, sir. We're glad to have you back, brother.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, wonderful to have you back online.
You have a good day, Paul.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me
a dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and